Fantastic. Please take a seat. Hope you enjoyed learning that new song together. Well, last Sunday, and as Nathan's reminded us this morning, we remembered the first Easter Sunday and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Now, as a church, and because it's so central to our faith, this is something we remember all the time, isn't it? So the songs we've sung this morning, the times we pray, and when we get our Bibles open, it's something we're always reliant on, the death of our Lord Jesus and his resurrection. And when we come from Easter, we thought it would do us just good this morning to open our Bibles and just consider some of the benefits and the glorious truths that actually the resurrection has won for believers. In fact, this was a question posed at our question cafe last Sunday evening, when someone asked, what difference does the resurrection of Jesus have for believers? Now again, this is an inexhaustive list that we could go on and on talking about the glorious truths. But to help us this morning, we're going to turn in our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So if you need a Bible, please simply just put your hands up and a steward would love to bring you one. There's some over here, if that's okay. So it's on page 1188. David, there's one down just there. And just while you're turning there, this letter was written by the Apostle Paul around 50 AD or so to the Christians at Thessalonica. And it was written as an encouragement for the believers there to persevere and to keep going in their faith as they waited for the return of the Lord Jesus. And it's a message that we need today, and I hope will be a real encouragement to us as we look at it. So as I read, we're going to read from chapter 4, verse 13 to the end of the chapter. And as I read, why not look for those encouragements that a believer has because Jesus died and rose again. So let me read from verse 13. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is God's word to us this morning. Let's pray before we turn back and consider these words together. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for your living and active word. And Father, as we consider the great benefits and the great truths of Jesus' death and resurrection again this morning, please would you encourage our hearts to keep going? Would you encourage us where we need encouraging this morning? Would you help us now to fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus and to get rid of any distraction that might stop us from hearing what you have to say? So, Father, please help us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. What do you say to someone who has lost a loved one? What words can you use to genuinely encourage someone at a funeral of when they're grieving? More specific to our passage today, how should we react when someone among us, someone in our church family, dies, or another believer that we know? What should our reaction be? What response should we have, and what should we say to them? I'm sure lots of you have been in that situation, and it's an extremely hard thing to know what to say sometimes, what words to give, even to write down in a card something that might encourage them. And it's something that, whether we've come across that already, it's something we will come across at some time in the future, because we live in a broken world that's marred by sin, and so there's death. Now, the words we've just read here are not words that will be true for all people. These are words that encourage all followers of Jesus in the face of death. You see, as Paul was writing this letter, he is specifically addressing and talking about believers who have died in our Lord Jesus, who had died, and about the hope that we can have. And at the heart of this hope, which is what we've been thinking about already this morning in song and as Nathan has led us, is the death and resurrection of Jesus. So in our passage, just glance down to verse 14 with me. And let me read it again, because it says, "For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so, based on that fact, we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep." You see, do you see how pivotal and foundational the resurrection of Jesus, the death and resurrection of Jesus is? These are the basis of our hope. Because Jesus died and rose again, our future hope is secure. And so, as those following Jesus, his resurrection should spur us on, give us courage for our daily walk with him. And that's the point of all of these verses. I wonder if you spotted it. So just if you glance down to verse 18, this is the only command in our passage. "Therefore, encourage one another with these words." These are written as an encouragement to us. Jesus' death and resurrection are a real encouragement to us as we proceed, as we keep going. This passage calls all believers to encourage one another with the resurrection. As followers of Jesus, as we wait for his return, we always have this encouraging message to share with those who are grieving the loss of a loved one, and as we ourselves keep on going. And this morning, I hope to share just two encouragements that this passage highlights. So encouraging one another with Jesus' resurrection means believers will grieve with hope and wait expectantly. Let's just look at that first one together. So encouraging one another with Jesus' resurrection means believers will grieve with hope. This first encouragement is that believers grieve the death of another believer with hope. Now again, this part of the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians, was written about 20 years or so after Jesus had died, risen, and ascended. And so you can imagine in this early church there have been lots of questions. So what happens to a believer when they die? Would those who have died already, would they be okay? Would they kind of miss out in some way? Would they be at a disadvantage when Jesus returns? What would happen to them? And so Paul is really anxious in these verses to inform these young Christians that they can be assured and optimistic about all believers who have died and all of us who will die. That's why he says in verse 13, as he starts this part, he says, "Brothers and sisters, those whom I care about in the Lord, we do not want you to be uninformed. We don't want you to be ignorant about death." Why? "So that," verse 13, "you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope." You see, Jesus' death and his resurrection has, for the believer, transformed death into mere sleeping. Three times in these opening verses, I wonder if you noticed, Paul uses the phrase "fallen asleep." Now, I hope that's none of you already this morning, but as he uses this, he uses it to describe Christians who have died. And importantly, it's not just that they've fallen asleep, but verse 14, it's those who have fallen asleep in him, in Christ. Those who have died, who had their hope and confidence firmly in Jesus' death and his resurrection. See, this phrase in Christ is one that comes up throughout the New Testament, and it refers to a joining of a believer with the Lord Jesus. You see, when you put your trust in Jesus, it's as if you're tied together with him. His death was your death as he died for sins. His life is your life now as you walk in faith. His resurrection guarantees your resurrection in the future and to eternal life. In fact, Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 describes this transformation in these words. He says, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us up with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. The hope of Jesus' death and resurrection is so certain that believers are described as even now being in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So if that is true for believers as we live here on earth, it's certainly true of the believers who have died in the Lord. Think of the words Jesus himself spoke on the cross as the thief turned to him and asked him to remember him and his kingdom. Jesus said to him, today you will be with me in paradise. There's no long delay, it was today. This is the hope that we have. Yet even as Paul writes, he concedes that this doesn't spare us with grief when a believer dies. But it does spare us from grief without hope. So encouraging one another with Jesus' resurrection means believers grieve with hope. Death is horrific. It is the fruit of our sin and rebellion against God. It separates loved ones. The right response to death is to grieve. If you think of Jesus himself in John's Gospel in chapter 11, when he goes to his friend's tomb of Lazarus, he weeps, which is all the more surprising, knowing that Jesus moments later was going to rise him from the dead. But death caused Jesus to weep. But though we grieve, believers grieve with hope because we know that they are now with Christ and one day will be physically raised in glory just as Christ was. You see, the rest of mankind may grieve without hope, but believers will grieve with hope because a believer is secure in Christ. So can I ask you this morning, is this your hope? Are these words that you can kind of claim to be your own? Can you confidently say these words, these things? Is this your hope? Just before the Easter weekend, there were two funerals for believers here. The believers who had died were of different generations and different backgrounds, but they both had and continue to have the same hope that Jesus' death and resurrection brings. And at both funerals, it won't surprise you that verse 13 was mentioned in some way. And it should be. Verse 13 is something that's common to nearly all Christian funerals. And it should be because it reminds us of the hope we have. On a sad occasion, we grieve. But we can also rejoice in the truth that the believer is safe in Jesus. See, look again just at verse 14. The basis of our confidence is Jesus' resurrection. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. It's because Jesus died and rose again that means we could be certain that death is not the end for a believer. It is merely sleeping. Death is just a passageway to the new life. It's the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who will lead believers through death to a home in heaven with him. As Christians, we need not mourn as others mourn at a funeral of another believer. And we ourselves, each day, as we step closer to death, as those trusting Jesus, we need not fear death because we know that the Lord Jesus will bring us home safely too. Now, just pause on that for a minute. Isn't that glorious hope that we have? this should encourage us. To use kind of a sporting analogy, this should kind of pump us up. What hope we have in the Lord Jesus. And there's more. You see, the further encouragement to grieve with hope is that not only do we have a certain hope that believers who have died are safe in Christ and now with their Savior forever, but also we have the hope that we will one day be reunited with Jesus too and with them. Just have a look at verse 17. It says, after that, so after Jesus' return, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. See, as believers, whether dead or awake, we will be caught up together. It's a lovely phrase, isn't it? What glorious encouragement the death and resurrection of Jesus gives those who are trusting him. We will together be with Jesus forever. We will together be with our Creator and Savior for all eternity. Experiencing the fullness of life without the mess and heartache and pain our sin has caused. Just to add upon this, if you just glance over to chapter 5 and verse 10, it's on the same page. Just let me read those words. Jesus died for us so that whether we are awake, still alive, or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. See, it's to this end that we must strive and keep going, whether we sleep in Christ or keep going in this world. Encouraging one another with Jesus' resurrection means believers will grieve with hope. These are words you can use to encourage those who are going through grief. And we shouldn't be ashamed to do so. The resurrection and the death of the Lord Jesus and his resurrection gives such hope. And these are words we can use to comfort one another and to encourage one another. So don't be afraid to use these. These are words for us to do that with. So encouraging one another with Jesus' resurrection means believers will grieve with hope. And secondly, as we keep going, believers wait expectantly. I don't know how good you are at waiting for things. I'm pretty useless, whether it's waiting for a bus or kind of waiting for a parcel to come through or kind of waiting for a message on my phone. And one thing I've really struggled to wait for recently is updates on eBay. Has anyone used eBay? Three people, that's great. I kind of get the eBay bug every 2 years, I think. I kind of forget about it. Then, I want to sell something, and I put it on, and then I just get hooked. And you could tell how exciting my life is at the moment by the things I've just listed. I listed some roof bars and some cups. So, not very exciting. But there we go. But I listed these items for a standard 7 days. And I have to tell you, as soon as I'd kind of pushed the button and it's online, I was checking my phone all the time. Has anyone bidded anything yet? You know, have I got my first bid? And the thing is, you get updates automatically, so I didn't need to check it because my phone would have alerted me. But I wanted to make sure, just in case they missed the point to message me. Anyway, I was waiting in eager anticipation for this great moment to arrive, and there it was, my first bid of 99p. And I have to tell you, I was so chuffed. Rachel wasn't as impressed. I was like, look, 99p! Brilliant! Anyway, you can ask me about the end result later. It's not that exciting. But whether on eBay or something else, we naturally find ourselves waiting for something. Waiting with expectation for something or someone to come. And it's no different in the Christian life, as you know. You see, Paul, in the early part of this letter, describes the Thessalonians' conversion story. You can see it in chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. But I'm going to read it, just their conversion story. He says, you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and now you wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who rescues us from the coming wrath. Christians are those who wait. We are waiting for the Lord Jesus to return. And this waiting is active. It's not just kind of sitting there waiting for an update on your phone. It's active. We are called elsewhere to do good works, the good works God has given us to do, to grow in our obedience to the Lord Jesus, grow in our likeness to him, as we anticipate an eternal future resembling his likeness before God and one another. See, waiting expectantly is this second encouragement that comes from the resurrection of Jesus. And our lives will reflect this if we're truly following him. See, let me just read again in our passage, verse 15 to 18, and listen for the confidence that Paul has that this will happen. So verse 15, according to the Lord's words, that is the words of the Lord Jesus, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. See, five times Paul declares that all of these things will happen. Unlike the hope of Tottenham winning the Premier League or Crystal Palace winning anything, the second coming of Jesus is not a fantasy. It's not a foolish hope to have. Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension are proof that he is alive and that he's coming back. Jesus said he would die, and he died. Jesus said that he would be risen again, and he was. Jesus said he's coming back, and he will come back. And so we can be confident that this is true. And so let us encourage one another with the resurrection to wait expectantly, to keep ourselves ready for that day, to keep following him. Now, we're not given all the details of the Lord's return, kind of the timings, everything else, which is kind of talked about in chapter 5 too. But one thing that is unmistakable is that this day will not be missed. You won't sleep through this. To help a friend at uni, who always used to sleep through his alarms, I invited him before the night of a really important exam to sleep over on the floor, because I was worried he was going to miss it. Anyway, his alarm went off really early, and it was like an air raid siren, and yet he continued to kind of sleep through it. And there was me trying to turn this thing off before waking up the whole neighborhood. Just as an aside, this was one of these alarms where you have to answer maths questions to turn it off. It's unbelievable. There was three maths questions, which weren't very complicated. They were only like 8 plus 17 plus 3. But in the morning, when you've just woken up from a dead sleep, I couldn't answer it. But anyway, it took a while. But unlike that, unlike this, my friend who would sleep through, no one will be sleeping through or miss the return of Jesus. That's for sure. His arrival will be signaled, if you look at verse 16, with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. See, three loud calls that will cause the dead in Christ to rise first, and then believers who are still alive on earth will be gathered together with them. Now, because this is true, because we could be certain of these things, we are to keep our eyes fixed on that day, fixed on what's ahead. Keep our eyes on the prize, as it were. Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus' glorious return. Now, is this something you talk about with other Christians? Is this the hope that you share with those who don't yet know the Lord Jesus? Because I guess for those of us who do know these things to be true, why is it that we're so often distracted and keen to talk about pointless things? See, how often after a church service do I kind of start talking about the indecisive weather or the frustrating football results or even the plans for lunch? It's not that we can't talk about those things or that those things aren't kind of fun to talk about. But that is so often our default. And yet here in our passage, Paul urges believers to encourage one another with these things. With encourage one another with the death and resurrection of Jesus, so that we're not uninformed, but that we understand that we grieve a believer's death with hope, and that now we wait expectantly for the Lord's return. See, may I encourage you, your conversations after church, to start with these things today. Talk about the hope that we have in the gospel, in the good news of our Lord Jesus. Start there. Encourage one another. You see, whoever you are in this room, we all need encouragement to keep going. See, whether you're a runner, it helps if you're a runner, doesn't it, to have some run beside you or to cheer you on from the sidelines. Or if you're a parent with a newborn baby, it's encouraging to be told that the sleep gets better. But as Christians, this is no different. We all need encouragement. For believers, we need to be those who encourage one another. We need to be reminded again and again of the certainty of the cross and the resurrection and the benefits that are ours in Christ. The benefits we've been thinking briefly this morning about. And so this morning, my prayer is just this, that we would experience encouragement from the hope we have through Jesus' death and resurrection. That we would be quick this morning and this week and next week and beyond to encourage one another with these words as we keep going in life and as we encourage those who grieve the loss of a loved one. So what do you say to someone who's lost a loved one? What words can you genuinely use to encourage a friend who's grieving the loss of another believer? Well, the next time you find yourself in that position, encourage them with the death and resurrection of Jesus. Encourage them that as believers, we grieve with hope and we wait expectantly for Jesus' return. Paul ends in verse 13, I've read it a couple of times, but he ends with this, therefore encourage one another with these words. Let us be quick today to do that and always until he returns. And this hope is based on Jesus' death and resurrection. And so if this is not yet your hope, let me encourage you to check out the evidence for Jesus' death and his resurrection. You could do that by perhaps asking another Christian here, another believer here, of their hope and their trust in the Lord Jesus. You could do that by reading the gospel accounts or by checking out the bookstore, a couple of books that might help you just to weigh the evidence. But why not call out to God and ask him to reveal himself to you, that you'd know that these things are true and you can have this hope that a believer has. Good. Well, let me pray for us and then we'll sing a final song. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for your gospel. We thank you so much for the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus and the hope that we can have because of him. Father, on our own, we are hopeless. There is no hope. But as you've been merciful to us, as we've been made alive in Christ, our Father, when we reflect on the benefits and the glorious truths we have as we have, as it were, joined ourselves with Christ. Our Father, thank you so much for that. That we no longer need to fear death because we have hope of eternal life with you. Our Father, please would you help us to be quick to encourage one another with that truth this morning? And would you be helping us to think and reflect more about this truth and to continue to help encourage one another with this truth as the weeks and months roll by? Our Father, thank you for our Lord Jesus. Father, please forgive our sins even this morning. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thinking about this morning and singing about together, please help us to encourage one another now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.